You're listening to The Taylor Marshall Show, Episode 3. And thank you for tuning in to The Taylor Marshall Show. My name is Dr. Taylor Marshall, and this is the podcast for everyone who wants to take their faith to the next level. Today's show will help you to become an influential mentor who is intellectually equipped to lead others with gentleness and compassion. Today's episode will give you 5 tips on how to have a deep daily prayer life. But before we get to that, I wanted to thank everyone for all the great feedback on the first 2 podcasts. It's been overwhelming. I really appreciate that. And all the great reviews over on iTunes. That's wonderful. My wife listened to episode 2 yesterday, I think it was, and she had some feedback that wasn't as positive. She said that my voice was a little too low, so I needed to fix that. And then I was a little sleepy on the mic, and then I should be more like I am in front of the classroom. So I'm going to make some adjustments this episode to the microphone, and hopefully that helps. I listened to it a little bit too, and some of the sentences would fade down as I got to like an end of a paragraph. So we're going to work on that. Also, we have a lot of phone-in messages for the questions, which is great. Usually I have to read the questions, and this time we have plenty of questions coming in from the SpeakPipe application, which is wonderful. So if you have a question that you'd like to be answered on this show, go to taylormarshall.com, and you can go to leave a question or how do I leave a question on any of the podcast pages, and you just click that, and you can leave a question and keep it to 30 seconds so it's not too long, and we can get as many as possible. All right, and we'll begin with our proverb of the day like we always do. Today's proverb is actually 2 proverbs. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 4 and verse 5. It's one of the most interesting couplings of Scripture. And the verse 4 says, "Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest you be like him yourself." And verse 5 says, "Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own eyes." So verse 4 says, don't answer a fool according to his folly. And verse 5 says, do answer a fool according to his folly. So what's going on here? You know, people who read Proverbs the first time, they get to this couple verses in chapter 26, and they scratch their head. Well, here's what I think's going on. When it comes to answering a fool according to his folly, so a fool says something foolish to you, how do you respond? Well, if you respond to him in kind with his folly, he's going to resent you and fight you. If you don't answer him, if you ignore him, he's also going to resent you and fight you. So when it comes to a fool, there's a trap. So you can answer him and not answer him. But there might be something else going on here too, and that is every situation demands a different response. And so sometimes you do answer the fool according to his folly, and sometimes you don't. So that's the Proverbs of the day, Proverb 26, verses 4 and 5. Okay, let's look at our tip of the week. Okay, the tip of the week is a technology, a tip, or just a personal life hack, as they call them. Something that helps you get ahead either personally, spiritually, or perhaps even financially, or with the struggle of technology that we all experience. And this tip of the week is also a very easy one to remember, kind of like in the first episode. This one's called Don't Answer Your Phone All the Time. It's a simple rule that you should have in your life. I have it myself, because the phone constantly distracts us, doesn't it? The phone is always ringing. Now, right now, as I'm recording this, I'm thinking, did I turn the ringer off while I'm recording this? I guess we'll find out. The phone's always ringing, and not only that, you're getting texts all the time. And then with the smartphone, you can constantly check your Twitter, your Facebook, your Instagram, and so on and so forth. So the tip of the week is carve out times in the day, make rules in which you do not use your phone or look at your phone. So for me, there's three areas where I prevent phone use for myself because I can get addicted to it. The first is when I'm on the way to church on that drive. I'm not going to answer the phone. I'm not going to do a text. I just need that quiet as I go. And with the kids too in the car, it's a time of quiet. Not to listen to music, not to answer the phone, not to chat. Just shut it off. The second one is when I'm doing my mental prayer in the morning. We're going to talk about that in the feature segment, how to have a deeper prayer life. We've got five tips for that. But you have to turn it off or you're going to get interrupted and you're going to lose that time. And then a third time that I have for my rule is when I'm doing an important task. So in the mornings, which is the time when I'm most creative and most zoned in and focused, that's when I like to write books and I write my blog posts. So during that time, the phone is off and away. If it rings, I'm not going to answer it because I'm in that zone. If I answer it, it could be an 8-minute phone call. It could be a 2-minute phone call. But it's going to take me probably another 3 to 10 minutes just to get back into my focus zone where I was trying to be creative, trying to think of something that would be interesting. So I would encourage you to do the same. Where are areas in your life, time slots in your life, where you need to be away from the phone? And how can that help you do things that count, that matter? Okay, so now we're going to move on to our featured segment, and that is how to have a deep daily prayer life. One of the richest elements of being a Christian is our ability to have intimacy with God. Our relationship is not as servant to master as we see in religions like Islam. Our relationship to God is son or daughter to father. There's an intimacy there. But unfortunately, we forget that we are called daily to have a deep interaction with God through Christ. And that can only happen through prayer. And as the mystics and theologians call it, mental prayer. Now, the distinction between mental prayer and vocal prayer is this. Vocal prayer are the prayers that you pray by memorization. So the Our Father, the Hail Mary, the Glory Be, the Angel of God. All of those prayers are vocal prayers. Mental prayer is just a fancy word or fancy phrase for referring to that kind of prayer, which is a dialogue between your soul and God. It's quiet and it's intimate. It's also extremely difficult if you've ever tried it. It's where you go into the quiet of your soul and you talk to Jesus about whatever it is you want to talk about or whatever it is he wants to talk to you about it. All the saints practice mental prayer. All the spiritual masters recommend it. If you have a good spiritual director, he's been talking to you about it. So how is it that we can enter into this time of quiet and to be with God? Sometimes we want to open our heart to him and say, you know, my kids are sick, I'm worn out, I'm out of sleep, and to sort of, you know, open our wounds and ask God to heal. Sometimes we want to share our happiness, our joys, our celebrations. We want to give thanks and praise to God for what he's doing in our lives. And then sometimes we just need to sit there quiet. Maybe we're too tired. Maybe there's just nothing to say, but we sit and we rest in his presence. You know, personally, I found when I do that, I'm more enriched. I'm a better husband. I'm a better father. I'm a better thinker, a better teacher, a better writer, because my soul's been refreshed and it's been infused with divine intervention. God and I have reconnected. He's given me new ideas and new direction. And that's where the true vitality and beauty of your life should come from, is that quiet intimacy with God. Now, how do we do that? We live in a busy world. We just mentioned cell phone interruption. Well, here's five tips. Try these five things maybe as you listen to this, write out a little checklist on a Post-it. You can fit all five tips on one Post-it. It's very simple. These are not original with me. All the great masters have taught these. I'm just repeating them. The first one is pick a designated time, the same time, every day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, and that be the designated time that you don't break. For most people, this works best in the morning. So you just say, well, it's 7 o'clock, that's when I do it. Or 6 a.m., that's when I do it. And sometimes you'll wake up and you'll set the timer, and those 15 to 30 minutes will crawl. It will feel like it is taking forever. I've had times where I've been there and I'm like, this is, surely we're almost done here, 15 minutes or 30 minutes. And I look down at the watch or the clock and it's like 3 minutes. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, I'm a terrible Christian. I can't even pray for 3 minutes. The second tip is pick the same place. We humans are creatures of habit, and it will indicate to our bodies and our souls that it's time for prayer if we do use the same place. So maybe this is a corner in your house. Moms who have lots of kids, maybe you just have to go into the bathroom and lock the door. Maybe it's a place in your backyard. Ideally, maybe you drive to a church and you're before the Blessed Sacrament. Whatever it is, have the same time, tip one, and then tip two, the same place. We must create habits. It's a lot of doctors and psychologists have studied this. 21 days of repeated activity will create a habit in most human beings. So 21 days of grumbling and complaining is going to create that as a habit in your personality. 21 days of going to Mass every day is going to create that habit. 21 days of cursing is going to create that habit, which will stick. So remember that, 21 days is the critical period. So if you can keep this up for 21 days, you're going to ingrain a habit. That doesn't mean you won't fall off of it, but you've created the patterns for you to be reminded and to persevere in this practice. Same goes for exercise, 21 days. All right, the third tip is to have a visual aid. So what's recommended here is that you have a beautiful image of our Lord, you know, maybe the Divine Mercy, a beautiful image of Our Lady, you know, one of the classic Madonnas, a very nice statue that you like, maybe a statue of the child Jesus, maybe a statue of Saint Joseph, whatever resonates with you, have that image that you can focus on. Because as your mind wonders about the grocery list, or what your boss asked you to do yesterday, you can move your eyes to that image and it will help you focus on divine things. We have eyes and eyes guide our thoughts. So if there's an image, it will help you stay on task. Now, also what really helps if you're in a church and you have the tabernacle, so you can look at the tabernacle and hopefully your church has statues and images, you can look at those as well. So that's the third tip, an image. Now, fourth, another backup is a book with spiritual reading. Now, this should not be used as a crutch so that you sit there and you read, say, 4 or 5 chapters for 15 minutes. That's not mental prayer. But what I like to do is I like to have the four Gospels. And so let's say it's been 6 minutes and your mind is wandering and you're not really focused on God and you realize that. So you just have the Bible on your lap and you open up to Mark's Gospel or wherever you are. And you read 1 or 2 verses. And in those 1 or 2 verses, you'll find something to think about or something to ask Jesus Christ about. Like, well, that's interesting, our Lord. Why did you say that to that woman? Or why did the apostles think that? Or is that how I think about you, Lord? Or, Lord, why did you suffer like that in that moment? Or why didn't you just answer the Pharisee this? See, and immediately you're back in dialogue with God. So the book is a backup strategy. It's not what you're doing during prayer. It's more of like a springboard to help you when you get stuck. All right, that's the fourth tip. The fifth tip is to have recourse to three words. I love you. Oftentimes you won't have the words to say to God. And Saint Therese, as we said in one of the previous podcasts, St. Therese says, when I can't pray anymore, I just say, I love you. And that stokes the flames in my heart again. So just by saying, I love you, and you can even be honest with God and say, you know, I'm tired. I don't want to be here today. I was up late last night, or I'm sick, but I'm here because I love you. And if you want to teach me something now, wonderful. If you don't, I'm just going to sit here with you because I love you. And that's enough. God loves that. He loves you, and he wants to be with you. And just the fact that you're taking time to sit there and be with him warms his sacred heart, and he's pouring out so many graces on you, even when you don't feel it, even when you don't experience it. He is growing you. He is enlarging your heart. So be encouraged in that. Don't give up. It is very discouraging. You know, I'm saying all this, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm a hypocrite. I don't even fulfill all of this properly daily. But you must persevere and know that he loves you. He's looking down. He's doing everything he can to bring you to heaven. All you have to do is respond. Okay, so those are the five tips. I'll repeat them. Number one, same time every day. Number two, same place. Number three, get a nice image. Number four, have a book on hand. The Bible's good, but any other spiritual reading. And number five, have recourse to I love you and be encouraged. Know that he is with you and he is blessing you. All right, and we'll turn now and we'll take some listener questions. All right, well, we had lots of great feedback on the voice messages. And the first one's not a question, but it's a great little message from Father Val from, of all places, Brazil. And I'd like to share that with you.
Hello, I'm Father Val from Rio, Brazil. And I've just come across this blog, so just to say hello and to wish you a blessed ministry. May God bless you and your family, and I praise the Lord for ministry in the Catholic Church.
Well, Father Val, thank you so much. It's great to know people are listening all over the world, and even priests. Thank you so much for your kind words, and please, Father, pray for us. Our first question comes from Michelle, and she's calling from South Africa. She has a wonderful accent, so enjoy her accent, and then here's her question.
Hi, my name is Michelle Evert, and I'm from Cape Town, South Africa. Dr. Marshall, I was wondering why the important patriarchs and prophets of the Old Testament, for example, Abraham and King David, are not called saints and do not have feast days. Thanks, and God bless.
Well, Michelle, that is a great question, and I love South Africa. I've been there twice, a beautiful place, wonderful people, and thanks again for the question. Are the Old Testament saints really saints, capital S saints? And technically, the answer is yes. In fact, most of the great Old Testament saints have feast days, or at least mentions in the martyrology. So in the current martyrology, Aaron, the great high priest, he is July 1st. Job is May 10th. Isaiah, May 9th. Ezekiel, July 22nd. Jeremiah, May 1st. Moses, September 4th. King David, December 29th. The prophet Haggai, December 16th. Obadiah, November 19th. And Abraham, great Abraham, October 9th. Also, the Maccabean martyrs have a feast day. I can't remember it right now. I don't have it in front of me. So these are saints in our church. We can pray to them. We can invoke them. And we might wonder, well, why don't they have the prefix ST when we write them or when we see them in churches? Sometimes we do see the ST. But I think the reason for that is that the saints are usually denoted after Christ because they have the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the life of the sacraments. And so, you know, a little saint like St. Teresa of Avila or St. Maria Goretti has a storehouse of grace in her soul that's much greater than the Old Testament saints. We are privileged to live in the time that we live, and more graces are available to us at this time than they were in previous times. So thanks be to God that we were chosen to live in these days. All right, and our next question comes from Barbara.
This is Barbara Ann, and I'm calling from Rose Valley, Pennsylvania. I love your new program, and I just recently heard you speak about the fact if you were not near a church, that it, under certain circumstances, it would be okay to say go to a Russian Orthodox church because their Eucharist is valid, but they're not in communion with us. I have a question for you. We generally make the sign of the cross when we pass a Catholic church. Should we be doing that for the Orthodox churches as well, then recognizing that Jesus is in that church? Thanks for your answer, and I appreciate your program. Bye-bye.
All right, Barbara, thank you. Great question there. It is true that the Eastern Orthodox churches have a valid Eucharist. About 1,000 years ago, the Church of Rome and the Eastern churches separated, and the Eastern churches did continue apostolic succession. The Protestant churches did not. The Eastern Orthodox churches did, and so they've retained a valid Eucharist, and this has been upheld again and again by the popes. So the question, when you drive by or walk by an Eastern Orthodox church, should you nod your head and make the sign of the cross, as is our custom as Catholics when we pass a Catholic church? And my answer is yes, he is there. Please do acknowledge him. He is there. But I would also say, add a prayer at that moment that we enter into full communion, that we might all be one, as Christ himself prayed in St. John's Gospel. So yes, recognize him as there, and then pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to work and bring us into full communion with the Pope, who is the Vicar of Christ on earth. So great question. Thanks for calling in, Barbara. Okay, so that's three calls today. I don't want to keep these too long, but maybe you have a question that you would like to ask and you'd like to have it here on the podcast. The way you can do that is you go to my website, taylormarshall.com/ask, taylormarshall.com/ask, as in ask a question. That'll take you a page, and you'll go down, and it'll tell you how to make a good question. So number one, state your first and your last name and where you're calling from. And then second, if you want to promote your blog or your apostolate or whatever you're doing, you can do that. That's great. You know, I'll run it. So if you want to say, you know, this is Shirley Q, and I'm from the Pro-Life Apostolate Minnesota at www.prolifeminnesota.com, go for it. That's wonderful. And then the key element, you know, I can't put everything up, and some people have left questions and comments that are a minute, 2 minutes long. It's just a little bit too long to handle. There's too many ideas there. So keep it to less than 30 seconds if you can, and make it just one question. And if you have lots of questions, we'll hang up and leave another question. Maybe it'll be used in a future podcast, but you got to keep them short, 30 seconds. So here is a perfect example of a listener question. All right, I'm going to read it to you. Hello, my name is Pope Francis, and I'm calling from Vatican City. You can see what I'm up to at Vatican.com. Taylor, I love reading your blog every morning after Holy Mass. I have a question. Who is your favorite pope of all time? I look forward to your answer. I send my apostolic blessing to you and your family. Ciao. See, what a great comment right there. Is that a real comment? I'm not going to reveal that. Okay, so that's how you do it. You say your name, where you're from, your website, and then you just land the comment, and I'll put it up. All right, so go to taylormarshall.com/ask, and you can click there and leave me a message. All right, we'll close up with a few announcements. The first, if you're new to the podcast, if you'll go to my website, taylormarshall.com, I'm offering a free book there. It's Thomas Aquinas in 50 pages. It's a summary of the basic elements of the philosophy of St. Thomas Aquinas, the common doctor of the Catholic Church. And it's written in simple layman's English. And there's a lot of fun and interesting analogies there to help you understand. So go over to taylormarshall.com. It's free. Insert your email address there in the top right hand of the page on the webpage, and you'll get a copy of that book, Thomas Aquinas in 50 Pages. Also, I'll be speaking around the country this fall, and I'm going to share some of those dates in case I'm going to be in your neck of the woods. On September 28th, I'll be in Dallas, Texas at St. Monica's Catholic Church, and I'll be giving a presentation there based on my book, The Crucified Rabbi, titled, How Does the Catholic Church Fulfill Jewish Prophecies? And I'll be talking about how there are over 300 prophecies in the Old Testament that are fulfilled by Jesus Christ and the Catholic Church. And that's going to be a great event. In October, on the weekend of the 12th, I'll be in Carrollton, Texas, and I'll be leading the Fall Catholic Men's Conference. And this year's topic is Answering the Call to Holiness. I'll be giving three keynote presentations there on St. Joseph, how men can be spiritual leaders in their home, and then also a cultural analysis, why we've lost masculinity and how we can regain it. In November, on November 9th, I'll be in Sugar Land, Texas, which is outside of Houston, and I'll be discussing why is the Catholic Church Roman? That's a topic of my latest book, The Eternal City. And then I'm really honored and humbled by the event coming up in the end of February 2014. This is put on by the Denver Catholic Biblical School, and I'll be the recipient of the Servant of the Word Award. And in previous years, this has been given to Michael O'Brien, Jeff Cavins, Dr. Scott Hahn, Dr. Peter Kraft, Father Robert Barron, Dr. Brant Petrie. So a lot of great minds, men that I've admired for a long time. So I'll be receiving the Servant of the Word Award, and I'll be giving a series of lectures and talks in Denver, and that's February 28th through March 1st, 2014, at the Denver Catholic Biblical School. And if you'd like for me to come into your men's retreat or talk for your parish or your event, just go to taylormarshall.com/speaking, taylormarshall.com/speaking, and you'll see some videos there and more information on my speaking availability. So check that out. And then I'm also excited to announce that we'll be offering some online courses. I don't have the format hammered out exactly yet, but I've been polling y'all about what you want, the readers of taylormarshall.com, for about 6 months now. And the data's been in, and I was surprised to see most people want online video courses. So I'm going to put together something that's affordable and attractive and fun and interesting, and so we'll have some online courses. I did a survey already, and surprise, surprise, everybody wants something on St. Thomas Aquinas, so we'll probably lead off with a course on St. Thomas Aquinas. So stay tuned at taylormarshall.com and learn how you can be a part of these online courses. I'd like to thank you for listening today. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe to it at iTunes. And I would really appreciate it. It would mean the world to me if you would rate this podcast and write something you like about it there on iTunes. It helps other people in iTunes find this podcast and spreads the word around. The more people that subscribe and rate it, the more visible it is in the iTunes search engine. So if you would do that for me, I'd really appreciate it. Thank you for listening. And I haven't forgotten, we always close the show with a Latin word of the week. And this week, it's actually two words. We had two proverbs coupled together, so this week we got two Latin words. And it's the word bona fides. Bona fides, two words. Bona, good, fides, faith. Here in the South, you hear people say bona fide. And that's just a reference to bona fides, good faith. If someone is bona fide or has bona fides, he or she comes to you with good faith. In other words, they're trustworthy. So there you go. You can drop that at your next cocktail party. And as our Lord Jesus Christ taught in the Gospels, we are the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Thanks for listening, and God bless.